Hello, I'm Debs.
And I'm Hannah, and welcome to The Write-Off, a podcast for the everyday writer.
Even if you don't write every day.
Whether you're hoping that what you're working on will one day be a Sunday Times bestseller, or you're simply putting words on the page for the pleasure of it, The Write-Off is a podcast for every writer on the journey.
You might be squeezing your writing time in around multiple jobs or childcare, or even just around the ebbs and flows of your own enthusiasm. But we're here to say, us too.
Hello, and welcome back to the Write-Off podcast. This is series 3, episode 5, and we're very pleased to be back. And in this episode, we are discussing the patterns of our work, or the patterns of our writing, and how the heck we get that done. How do you get it done, Deb?
How do I get it done? Wow. Well, I actually was thinking about this because I actually managed a writing day on Monday, which was really, really nice. It did mean, you know, a day of annual leave from work, but, you know.
Well spent.
Exactly. And because I knew that we were thinking about this episode, I wrote down the phases of that little kind of writing day, and they went inspiration, excitement. So obviously, like, you're kind of on a roll, and you're excited about it. So it's like, and you get that rush, and you know, you remember why you do it and all of that stuff. Some productivity, which is obviously amazing. Mm-hmm. Distraction, lack of concentration.
Yeah.
And then it all started over again. And I was thinking a lot about distraction as part of my working patterns, because we talk a lot about procrastination, but I think that actually when something comes along and distracts you, that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah, massively.
So it's not like I was looking for an excuse to get away from what I was doing, but my phone went, or the doorbell went, or I went to the loo and then walked past something and thought, oh, I better fold that washing, or went to get a cup of tea. And I don't know, it's just so easy to get distracted. And then obviously that you lose that flow, and then you kind of have to start all over again.
Yeah, no, you are so right. I think there's the kind of like that bitty, there's like a zone, and it's something like, for me, something like 20 minutes. And if I get distracted before I've managed to write solidly for about 15, 20 minutes, then there's no hope for me. Do you know what I mean? I can't get into that zone in less time than, say, for example, 20 minutes. But also that initial 20 minutes is really fucking hard, because you're like trying to almost wind up the cogs of your brain, or you're trying to work on something you've already written, and it feels really hard. So the first thing that distracts me, like you said, like your phone, or thinking, oh, I could just, maybe I need a cup of tea to get into this. And then you've lost me.
And you're right, actually, I've started that little kind of cycle with inspiration, but you warm up before that.
Yeah.
I missed out the warm up. And you're right, if the warm up doesn't, you know.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I have to be so disciplined with my phone. And I actually got really pissed off with my husband because he took my phone. So we have this little setup where we sit opposite each other, like we're hot desking with our laptops. And he said to me, oh, I think you need to move your phone. And I was like, excuse me, I think it's up to me. And like, I might need my phone for like research. And he's like, you're literally, your laptop's attached to the internet. So you needed to like look something up, you could do it.
Dare I ask, because obviously I'm not condoning this behavior, but did it work?
Yeah, so that's the thing. And like, to be fair to him, he was like, I've started doing it. I've started leaving my phone. Well, he leaves his upstairs. And I was like, whoa. I got to start small here, pal. But I did leave it on the sofa, which is on the other side of the room to where we were. And just not having it there right next to me, like right next to the palm of my hand, meant that I didn't do that thing where my little, whatever it is, that little tripwire in your brain that the internet, you know, the kind of like the way we've been conditioned to swipe and constantly look for interesting things every 90 seconds. I just wasn't reaching for it every time I hit like an internal brain wall. Is that a
definitely
thing?
Like I'm sure on Monday that I got a message, and then because I was on my phone, I went on Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Like I looked on Strava, and just these are apps that I kind of like continually just dip into quickly. And then you just think, oh, I'm meant to be writing, you know.
It is shocking how much time I waste when I could be writing. So, yeah.
So distraction is part of the patterns of my work, and it shouldn't be, but it is, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a universal problem. And I think it's a bit like if anybody runs, I think it's like so when you're running, you start running, you're excited to start running, you start running and your legs are like, oh, and it's horrible and you hate it and your lungs are really like tired, and then like the rest of your body catches up and you hit a point at which you've forgotten that it was hurting and you didn't like it, and you're just like, oh, I'm running and I'm doing it and I'm okay and I can do it.
But you know what? That really reminds me. Someone gave me some advice about running, and I think you're right. I think it applies to writing. Treat the first 15 minutes like you've got a hangover.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to warm up.
Yeah, you do. And I think I forget that pretty much every time I come to my work, that I need a like warm up period. And so I guess my pattern of work is to open this document, which at the moment is, I feel like I say this every time, and anybody who listens regularly to the podcast will be like, oh, you're overwhelmed again, are you, Hannah? But I am overwhelmed by this redrafting I'm doing. And a lot of what I experience at the moment is fear driven, I think. So because I've got this body of work, and now the work I'm doing is to try and make it good and, like, I guess marketable, although I try to put that as far to the back of my mind as possible because I think that way madness lies. Mm-hmm. I'm consumed by the fear that whatever I commit to on the page, somebody somewhere whose desk it may or may not land on one day will just be like, what's this shit? Or, you know, And there's, you know, you can't please everybody. There will always be somebody who's like, well, this is a load of twaddle. And
that's true. That's true. You can't please everybody, but also everybody who writes has that fear.
Yeah. I think that my pattern at the moment is just spikes of fear. Okay. Spikes of fear. So I'll be going along, thinking I'm okay. And then suddenly I'll be like, I don't know, this subplot or this character or even this, like, I don't know, 30 words. Oh, God. They're going to think, I don't know, who's this they that I constantly refer to? But I don't know. It's just,
Because I can't even really equate what I'm doing to it because I'm not doing as much. But even writing on Monday and then reading it on Tuesday on a much smaller scale, I can understand what you mean.
Yeah.
I kind of read it and there were bits of it that I was like, you know, this is what I intended. And then there's bits of it that I just think, is this shit?
Yeah. And then it's like a little, yeah. So I think every time I get that spike of fear, that's when I disassociate from my like writing flow. And that's when I'm like, oh, I need a cup of tea, or, oh, I'm going to go and check that random thing that doesn't need to be checked, or whatever it is, you know, the things that you tell yourself you need to do, you don't really need to do. It's just really hard to sit and focus.
But then how do you talk yourself down from that? Because obviously you're saying like your fear comes in spikes, but what brings you back to the desk and writing again?
I don't know.
A different kind of fear.
No, I remember years ago, like 15 years ago, I went to interview this writer. It wasn't like an interview for like publication, but like I wanted to ask her questions about her process of work, interestingly enough, seeing as we're talking about the process of work. And she was really nice and agreed to like sit down and talk with me. And this keen bean, he was like, how do you do it? How do you write a novel? And she I think I said to her, you know, oh, what gets you to the desk like every day? What gets you like sat down? And she was like, fear. Like, and I was like, oh, what do you mean? And she was like, well, if I don't write it, I cannot pay my mortgage or whatever, my rent, and I cannot put food on the table for my children. So it is fear. And I was like, oh, thank you for sharing that with me. I think about that a lot because sometimes I kind of have this internal monologue where I berate myself for the length, the sheer length of time it has taken me, A, to sit down to write this particular novel, which I think is something that's been stewing in my brain for 20 years probably, and B, for how slow I am as a writer. Mm. And then I feel like almost like the weight of time sat on my shoulder. There's no point at which I stop being able to like get a novel published or get a novel finished, but the older I get, the more alarmed I get by how little I've managed to get done. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I wonder, like, you know, we talk a lot about writing isn't what pays our bills. And you know, and that's a source of frustration for us, but imagine if it was the thing that paid our bills. I wonder if that kind of motivation would make us more productive.
Or is it just the same? Do you have all the same distractions and pain barriers, you know, not to use like running analogy again, but the difference is, you know, say for example, if you've got an expectation that an editor needs to see a first draft or whatever, you have no choice but to push through those things.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference, isn't it? When you're writing for yourself, and like in our situation, we have small windows of time, you're writing for yourself, there's always something else pressing on you that you think, I really want to sit down and write, but I could also do all these other things and get all this other life admin done and deal with this and deal with that. There's always something else that could take up that time. Mm. And you don't have almost like the safety net of knowing that somebody somewhere is waiting for it.
The other day at work, I was asked to write 1,000 words of something for work. But I was given a 3-hour slot to do it in, and I did it. Obviously, it's different because it's, you know, it's not creative writing, but it kind of proves that you can be productive.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I've heard it countless times. It's like the deadline, the idea of the deadline looming is the point at which you're like shocked into action. Or like a window, for example, you were given a window of 3 hours. Mm. And so, you know, you got it done because you had that window. Mm. And, but I suppose, again, it's like you've got that pressure of your like manager or line manager or whoever being like, Deb, like you said you were going to get that thing done. And so it's like, yeah, I think when you don't have someone sitting there being like, where's that thing you said you were going to show me?
That's so true.
Yeah.
So when you do sit down to your desk, how do you approach your writing?
I always have to do inevitably a bit, quite a bit of faffing around before I can really start. Yeah, there's normally like a bit of surfing of the internet inevitably, or like I'll tell myself I need to know what's happening in the news before I can start in case it like, I don't know, impacts on how I'm going to write. I don't know. But I can't just like open the document and go.
Yeah.
And I've heard like different people say different things about revisiting what you wrote before. I think some people are, you know, would always want to read what they had read before and other people don't revisit. But I think I have to revisit at least a section, not least because I've got a bit of a brain like a goldfish. And if I don't, I find out, I can't remember what it was, where I was at.
I think there's that, you have to adopt the tone of your writing. I don't know about you, but like, it depends what I'm writing. My tone can be very different.
That's the wild thing about writing a novel length piece of writing. This is the first time I've actually managed to write like, you know, a full length first draft manuscript. And So there are so many different tones throughout the piece. And I think you could tell when I've been reading a book, like a novel, someone else's novel that has been like really inspiring me, because I think, oh, that doesn't sound very much like me. Who was I reading that paragraph? And I actually, like, I know that, again, you've got to take everything with a pinch of salt, and some people won't read other people's work whilst they're writing. I actually quite like reading other people's work whilst I'm writing, because it reminds me what I'm aiming for. Do you know what I mean? So I'll open my draft, look at like the previous day's writing. Sometimes I go all the way back to the beginning, but that's a bit of a bore lake, so I try not to do that. And then I'm also reading a really good book at the moment called The Science of Storytelling by Will Storr. And that's quite analytical. It's quite a sort of, well, the secret's in the name, but like it's a very scientific-based examination of why we tell stories and how our brains work and how storytelling works.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, so I'm not very far into that book at the moment, but I quite like the fact that it's very different from the creative stuff that I'm going to put on the page. I quite like, it's like a cleanse. You know when you cleanse your palate? So I'm like, look at my work, then I'll read a few pages of this really interesting book, which is so different from what this small world that I'm writing about. Actually, it was quite nice. Then I read a bit of that, and then I was like, right, I'm going to dip my toe into this. And so, yeah. That was a really, really long-winded way of saying that I read a little bit and then I write.
I like it. I really like that. I agree that I think however it affects the way that you write, a bit of reading can't hurt.
It's all research, you know what I mean? It's all feeding your own craft.
So what else do you do when you're approaching your writing?
Well, I wish I could say that I did like some cool little writing exercises to jump me into the process. I was listening to someone talking the other day, and they were saying that they literally cut and paste like a paragraph out of their main document, put it into a blank document and just work on that. So you're not
going too far back into your work.
Yeah, yeah. So you're like, all I have to do is make this like 1,000 words good, or even less than that. A paragraph. And so I'm just going to remove it from the bigger body of work and just focus on it on its own.
That's a great idea.
And I was like, yeah, I was like, that is a cracking idea, and I'm going to have a go at that, because I do sometimes think that the scale of the document is sometimes a hinder.
Definitely is, because one of my things is when I sit down to write is that I read what I've done before.
Yeah.
And also, it doesn't help that because I'm writing a few different short stories of the same theme, they're all in the same document.
Yeah.
Which is really messy. And I did something similar. I did just start afresh with the notes of the short story that I was working on Monday. I moved them. But like, obviously, it made more sense because I'm moving them away from something that it's not supposed to flow from anyway. But I do get distracted by all the other stories, and every now and then I'll like add a few sentences to the notes which are still, you know, like in between two of the stories or something, because I know that I want it to go in a certain direction, but I don't have time to write it. So it's just this absolute crazy mess. It doesn't necessarily encourage a nice flowy kind of environment in which to work.
For sure, because it's like the sort of mess on the page. It's like tidy house, tidy mind kind of thing, isn't it?
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
But like, I think that's doubly hard for you because you've got this like anthology of stories that are connected, but they have to stand alone as individual stories. So yeah, because I would find it really hard not to jump around and be like fiddling with one thing and then jumping when that got a bit tricky, jumping to another one. Like,
no, that's exactly it. When it gets tricky, I kind of like go, oh, I'll just go over here. But yeah, I did just focus on the one story and made progress as a result.
So do you find it easy to open up that story, that document, albeit however haphazard and messy, and just start writing? Or do you have to like take a running jump, if you know what I mean?
Monday, I keep talking about Monday because it was different to the way I usually do it, which is like to do it on the train. And sometimes it's on notes on my phone, or it's in. So I do this thing where I email myself it, and then I copy and paste it onto a document on my laptop, and then I kind of when I'm. It's quite a long train journey, so I do have like. Oh, it sounds really sad, but I do have 40 minutes. But to have a day isn't something that I usually have, so I guess I don't really have a ritual.
Yeah, and that is the thing, isn't it? Like, it's such a privilege. I mean, it's a privilege to be able to say, right, I've got this time.
But then Monday was such a gift that I made the most of it. If I had a Monday every other day, I'd then find it a lot harder.
Yeah, well, that's me, because I do have a Monday a week. That's my writing day, and the amount of titting around I do. Inevitably, there are things I have to eat into that time and will eat into that time. But I have learned to be kinder to myself and be realistic. And again, this all ties into patterns of work, to be realistic about how much time at the desk I will actually work in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I don't try to pretend to myself that at like 10 o'clock when I sit down, I will then be writing solidly until 12 when I like stop, for lunch or whenever that is. Or, and then from like 1 till 3, I'm just like, I'm not going to do that because that's a really long time for me. So,
But that's really wise that you've actually taking the pressure off yourself a little bit, because otherwise you'll just be perpetually disappointed. Then that's more negativity that's going to interrupt patterns of work and your creative flow and all of that stuff. So actually understanding your own patterns will, actually kind of taking your time to sit there and think, how do I work? What bits work and what bits aren't working very well, and or embracing it and understanding it, then it can help.
it's like training, it's like streamlining the sort of the same way as you would if you were training. Oh God, we keep talking about running. Yeah, if you were training for like a run, you do like chunks, don't you? You don't expect to be able to, on the first day one, to run the full 10K and be like, oh, I'm ready for the race in 3 months' time. Do you know what I mean? And it's
And
the same.
even then, like, even if you were fit and writing and running all the time, you know that that first 2 kilometers is difficult. And then when you get to the 7th kilometer, your energy wanes, and then once you get past that hurdle, you speed up again. So it's like understanding the way you write will, I guess, not put you off.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, we completely unintentionally turned this whole thing into a running metaphor, but it's been fun. Thanks, Hannah. Really enjoyed that chat about the patterns of working and writing. And I look forward to chatting to you on episode 6.
Oh, yeah, the last one of the series.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and good luck with your writing.
Good luck with your writing. If you have enjoyed today's episode, then please do subscribe, rate, and review us. It helps people to find us, and every listen and download to our little podcast really does make a difference, and we really do appreciate it.